away we go on a Monday edition. Mr. Relevant, I'm Alex Strove. Josh Imaggio's here. Will Summers is here. Hunter Vaughn is here. Joshie, Will, and I at the Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All studio at the Avenue Downtown Milwaukee. Hunter's back in Madison at the Everlight Solar Studios. Lot to get into, obviously, on this Monday. The big news out of Green Bay, the Jaire Alexander saga is over as the Packers officially come to terms that they will go ahead and release Jaire Alexander after a meeting yesterday that took place in Green Bay. Ultimately, no deal reached. Now, we've talked about this for months at this point, whether or not it'd be smart to bring Jaire back. Obviously, we've had, you know, some different information that's come out, right? Like, they offered a restructured contract. I thought that was a sign of, okay, maybe they will get something done. One person stood firm the entire time. It ain't happening. So without further ado, I would like to issue an apology. And I'll just do this. Josh was right.
Looks right.
And Will's
looks
got good. Will's hanging a
wow.
sign out. Yeah, Josh was right.
Wow.
Jaire Alexander, no longer a member of the Green Bay Packers. Mr. Vindication, before I give my my thoughts on it, I'll give you the floor.
I thought this was always inevitable. You might say it's the year of vindication for me, but I don't want to dance on your grave too harshly here.
I would go ahead and say it is indeed the year of vindication for you between Aaron Rodgers and, you know, being the big shot you are, winning $1,000. I mean, there's all sorts of examples. This has been a year of vindication for you. This furthers that. Continue.
I mean, you guys have a saying, be more like Brad for Ben. We should have a be more like Josh.
Okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Sift through all the nonsense, all the news, and trust your gut and your brain. It'll never mislead you. Brian Gutekunst publicly...
Hold on. Time out. That's not true. I trust my brain all the time, and it misleads me.
I should say trust mine, then. I guess should be the advice here. Trust my brain, and it won't mislead you. Brian Gutekunst publicly spoke about trading Jaire Alexander, and that should have been everyone's shining example of, hey, there isn't anything that's going to change how they feel about him. Jaire's not going to be willing to take the lessened contract or the incentive-laden contract, as we've seen. They were not happy with the structure, I believe Rob Domofsky said on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy earlier today. The Packers felt fine. They went out and invested in the cornerback position via free agency. And then pick after pick after pick of the draft went by, and they did not invest any further into their cornerback room. Some people took that as a sign, oh, maybe Jaire's coming back. Brr, wrong. He simply doesn't play enough, and he's simply too insubordinate on occasions for the Packers to be comfortable giving him really any sort of guaranteed money. So they took the option that I thought was the case all along. I don't quite know why it took this long to make it, other than he was set to be at the mandatory minicamp coming up. So to me, you have to parse out, and you'll see a lot of this online, and a lot of the people who are in the talk and text line are the YouTube comments. Just because you want something to happen doesn't mean that's what's going to happen. And that's an important lesson because a lot of people are caught up in, well, now our cornerbacks stink. Fine, you can believe that, but it seemed pretty clear to me all along Brian Gutekunst and company did not think that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, you've got to take the tea leaves for what they're worth, to your point. And very early
also,
on...
Also, trust Jason Wilde, Rob Domofsky, and those people.
I would just say those guys also, though, to a point... It got to a place where they said, yeah, I honestly don't know where this is going to go.
I think that was largely because it took so long.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think all of us expected a resolution at the latest by the NFL draft.
Yes.
And here we are a month and a half later, and you finally get a resolution on June 9th. As the Packers announced this morning, they will release Brian Gutekunst's first draft pick during his tenure as the general manager back in 2018, first-round pick, Jaire Alexander. That was the first draft pick that Brian Gutekunst made when he took over for Ted Thompson, the late Ted Thompson, as the general manager of this team. Look, this was a really unique one. And we talked about it at length, you know, I mean, how many weeks now since that report in The Athletic came out that they had offered a restructured deal to Jaire, but ultimately he didn't sign it. I was in a place where I just didn't really understand where we were at, right? Because from January to February to even free agency when they signed Nate Hobbs, Joshy, it seemed like it was an outright, you know, it was an outright, you know, finalization of his tenure in Green Bay. It seemed like it was no doubt over. And then all of a sudden, Brian Gutekunst is talking before the draft. Yeah, let's get through the draft and then we'll see where Jair's at. And to your point, they selected a corner, Michael Robinson, out of Tulane in the seventh round, who likely would have been undrafted. And I mean, that's not really saying, hey, we've got this new star corner by any means. Right. They like Kalen King. They like Nate Hobbs. They like Carrington Valentine. They like Keyshawn Nixon. I don't know if they love any of those guys. I don't know that any of those guys scream, hey, there's your number one wide receiver right there. Or excuse me, corner. It's going to lock down a number one wide receiver like Jair has been known to do in the past. So all in all, when it comes to the Jair Alexander release, it seems risky. I get why you would do it, given his lack of availability the last several seasons, but it's risky for a team that is going to play Terry McLaurin, Amon-Ra St. Brown twice, Justin Jefferson twice, Jamar Chase, Marvin Harrison, DK Metcalf. I mean, there's some really good receivers on the Packers' schedule this year, and there is clear uncertainty at that position. Well, Keyshawn Nixon impressed last year when he was able to play outside and played a little bit of that top corner spot. Are you sold on the idea that this guy's an elite corner in the league? No. Do you like the things you've seen out of Carrington Valentine, the former seventh round pick entering year three? Yeah, you like what you've seen, but are you sold he's a number one corner and going to be able to shut down the likes of Terry McLaurin and Jamar Chase when they play them early in the season? I don't feel great about that. I mean, it is certainly a questionable move. Now, the Packers, and we'll get to this more in a little bit, but they saved some money by doing this. And there are still some decent corners on the market if you just want to add some depth and just add some options at that position. I don't think that's the route they're going to go. I think the Packers right now are in a position where they look at their cornerback room and they go, hey, we have enough. Right? We trust Keyshawn Nixon. We trust Carrington Valentine. We trust Nate Hobbs. That's why we spent money on him in free agency. And look, I'm cool with that, but it certainly needs to be proven in 2025. Because as it stands right now, I go, if you're to pick out a weak point on the Packers roster, on the Packers depth chart as it stands right now, June 9th, I think everybody's circling cornerback, and I don't know that it's particularly close. So, questionable move, but I get the reasons as to why we got here.
The simple matter of the fact here is Brian Gutekunst and company don't agree with you.
Correct.
Because they don't agree with many fan bases, I mean, many people in the fan base. They view their cornerback room as plenty good without Jair, and what they needed to replace it, they felt, was Nate Hobbs, a guy who can play what they believe to be both in the slot and outside. So they think they're three deep with starting level players and guys that will assist Jeff Hafley. Do I think we were talking about this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Me and Gabe were talking about it. It may seem hard to believe, but the Packers cornerback room is absolutely upgraded from what it was last year because Jair was such a non-factor for so long. And clearly, the Packers determined that part-time Jair is not worth it. And even Jair, when he's out there, might not be the most fully committed person you see on the football field. He certainly had his ups and downs when he's been on the field, especially over the past 4 years. I mean, they put it up on, I believe it was GetUp. Like, he's played 50% of games.
Yep.
We know that. And it's not just the past two. You could backdate that even further, where he's not on the field. And that simply in the NFL is not something that is tenable, especially for the amount of money that he was due to receive. Yeah. I mean, he would have been guaranteed all that money to essentially show up and maybe get 50% out of him. And how do you know if he's back and he has that money guaranteed and he doesn't like the way things go, or he doesn't like his usage, or he doesn't, like, who's to say he doesn't turn into Joe Barry era Jair Alexander? These are all factors into, I'm sure they would love his talent if he was out there, and I'm sure they'd be happy to pay him $17 million if he was even pretty reliable. But at this point in his career, he's not even that.
I would just say this, as I've had the opportunity to think about it for a little bit. I think all of the people that are doubting it, right? And I'm reading the YouTube comments. Chef Ed chimes in, you know, I hate Goody. Nixon is not a number one quarterback. Chris chimes in. This is terrible news on YouTube. I would just say to the people that don't like that they reached this decision to remember the David Bakhtiari situation, right? Jair Alexander is David Bakhtiari 2.0 in terms of availability is the best ability. And neither of those guys have been available. When they were, they're really, really good, right? David Bakhtiari was an all-pro left tackle. Jair Alexander's an all-pro corner. When they're on the field, you love having them. The issue is they're never on the field. And for the Jair part of this, is that has become a distraction over the course of the last couple of years. You heard the tone in the offseason from Brian Gutekunst when he talked about it. You heard the tone from Matt LaFleur when he talked about it. They like Jair. They like how good he is when he's on the field. But that the when word there that I just used, when he's on the field, is way too big of a when or if. It's way too big of a factor that's played into whether or not he can provide for your football team. So as we can acknowledge, hey, by the way, it ain't all that different from the past seasons. This is something the Packers are used to, playing without Jair Alexander. This is not abnormal for this team the last several years. So Carrington Valentine getting all those meaningful reps as a seventh-round pick in his first and second years in the league have helped him develop a ton. And to Josh's earlier point, the coaching staff, the general manager, are confident in the ability of these cornerbacks without Jair Alexander, thus why they reached this decision today of releasing Jair. So they hope that Carrington Valentine can take a big step in year three. They hope that Keyshawn Nixon can evolve into what he has self-proclaimed as a CB1. They hope the Nate Hobbs signing in free agency pays dividends, and he is a really nice piece, a versatile piece, as Josh alluded to earlier, on this defense. It's a wait-and-see time for the Packers defense. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, well, these corners are stinky doo-doo, right? These guys stink. They don't have a true number one. They're going to get burned by all the great receivers they play. I'm not going to do that. But it's certainly a risk. It's without a doubt a risk that the Packers took today by releasing Jair Alexander.
The thing is, there is certainly potential for this to backfire, for Jair to go out and return to form as an all-pro player. The problem I have with that, though, is I don't think he does that as a member of the Green Bay Packers. I think any sort of rekindling of his career and elevation to the guy we know him to be, an all-pro level player, I don't think that was happening in Green Bay. I just think things ran its course. He was not that great close with Matt LaFleur. I mean, he said as much, like he barely even speaks to him. And I just think things weren't going to change with him in the front office and maybe some of the members of the coaching staff. As much as he said he loved Jeff Hafley, we still couldn't rely on him to be on the field. And inside of that, and the Packers aren't going to say this explicitly, they don't believe he was as injured as he was, as he believed he was often throughout these past few years. That's simply a matter of fact. The Packers believed he was able to play, and he was not willing to play in that state. I mean, we saw it happen with the 10 snaps in Chicago where he just left the game. That's the type of stuff that kind of burns that final bridge of, we need you, and you're not willing to do it. And it takes somebody in the room to say, hey, we need to cut our losses here.
Yep.
We need to not rely on this guy and move forward in a world where we know the guys we have here are going to show up and play whenever possible. And with Jair, you simply couldn't do that.
Was it a win by the Packers ultimately not trading him? Because the report from Jordan Schultz says the Buffalo Bills were in touch at some point this offseason. Now, we can assume they probably offered low, right? And I think that's something you and I have talked plenty about since it came out that the Packers were looking to shop him. I imagine it was probably a sixth or seventh round pick.
I believe it was Albert Breer who put, he didn't report the Bills wanted to trade for him, but he said the teams that were interested were unwilling to pay his salary. So at that point, Jair said, well, I'm not going to agree to a lessened contract just to make a trade happen here. I'm going to try and get, and that might end up being a misstep for him. Who knows what the market is? The fact that nobody would pay anything for Jair in a trade and the Packers decided to then release kind of tells you what the NFL thinks about him.
Yep.
And I'm sure there's many teams that are going to kick the tires on him, but they're going to want it at a price they feel comfortable with. And the one the Packers had and then offered was not one Jair was comfortable with. So we don't know the details of that supposed contract that was offered.
Yep.
We just know Jair didn't accept it. And that's why when that report came out and everyone was like, oh, he's coming back, if he wanted it, he would have signed it.
Yeah.
If he was happy with the contract and thought it was fair, he would have been a member of the Packers.
Just want to hit some cleanup on the YouTube chat, and then we'll get to Hunter. On ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, BCrum84. It's a great nickname.
Shout out.
If we had a premier pass rush, you don't need an all-pro cornerback. But,
so that's a thing that I've seen talked about a lot. Don't have a number one. Do we have a number one pass rusher?
Nope.
Do we have a number one wide receiver?
Rashawn Gary, maybe. Not really. Matthew Golden, hopefully.
Do we have like a number one defensive tackle?
I mean, it's Kenny, but
is it? That's not a good spot.
So hold on a minute. It seems like you're coming to a realization when you say all that aloud.
No, it feeds back to the thing I think we've talked about ad nauseum on here. The Packers are bereft of stars. They don't have enough stars.
They lack superstars.
They need more top-end talent.
Yeah.
Jair was not top-end talent the past 2 years. It's that simple.
Yeah. No, I mean, you have to be on the field to be top-end talent.
You can make a case for him healthy being one of those guys.
Yeah.
But that hasn't been the case for 4 years.
Correct.
That's a long time.
And Dubs on YouTube, the same people would be furious if you're paying Alexander $17 million and he only plays five games. Goes on to say, Nixon probably won't be cornerback one. It will be Hobbs in his opinion. And then he hits us with an RELAX. Before we get to Hunter, Joshy, tell me who said this, Chef Ed or Hunter. I'm hoping he stays healthy, signs with the team that the Packers play, and he picks off Jordan Love. Chef Ed or Hunter?
Chef Ed?
It was Chef Ed. Sounds like something Hunter would say, though.
Yes. I don't... I can't understand why people are so emotionally invested in Jair right now.
I think it's because there's obvious nerves that come without security at the position.
But concept is there, which I think people are forgetting.
Yeah, I think people, maybe not forgetting, but it's still, hey.
Ignoring?
Maybe ignoring, because I think if I just present you the blanket statement of, hey, you can either have a former All-Pro at corner or no former All-Pros at corner.
Right.
There's an obvious answer you would pick.
Right. But then you peel back the first layer.
There's a lot. It's a lot more convoluted than that. Yes. I understand. All right. Let's get to Hunter in the Everlight Solar Studio. What's up, Hunter?
I was just wondering, as you guys talk about this, because I've seen a number of people mentioning this like on Twitter and that, the idea of, let's say Jair hypothetically goes to the Vikings and he doesn't play every single game, but he gets the 13 games and plays at a Pro Bowl level. Are you guys frustrated then that the Packers and Jair couldn't figure something out sooner to keep him if he were to play in 13 games and play at a good level, but he does it for the Vikings?
I would say this. I think the Vikings part would piss me off no matter what. Hunter, you've worked with me long enough to know how much it bothers me. The NFC North retreads, right? Like, I feel like we've done multiple segments on this very show of me, you know, yelling and getting angry about how often, and I understand why this is the case. It seems like it happens more to the Packers than other teams. Maybe that's because I'm in our universe so deeply, but it seems like if a Packer is cut or released or leaves the team, they oftentimes end up in the NFC North. And again, I know why that is. I'm sure it happens in every division. I just see it so much in the Packers. It irritates me. That is the part that would bother me, right? I would much prefer a Casey Hayward or a Micah Hyde. Like, if he is to go have a terrific, you said Pro Bowl level season somewhere, I would very much prefer if it was not in the NFC North.
I don't think I'd be all that bothered by it because I realize, and I believe to a pretty high degree, that Jair would not happen in Green Bay. I think the change of scenery and his football mortality being laid in front of him the way it is right now, being cut from the Packers, is going to, or would in that event, be actual material change. I also would put into context, like, what is his contract? Because I can almost assure you nobody's going to give him the guaranteed money.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that plays out.
Because I think wherever he goes, it's going to be incentive laden.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll equal what he was supposed to get this year. and he'll just have to agree to, yeah, that's fine. The guaranteed money is fine.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I think I am curious to see what the number is, the guaranteed
number. If people were confident that Jair Alexander could go out and be a Pro Bowler who played in 13 games, somebody would have made a trade for him.
Yeah.
Even with the $17 million that he was owed. If people truly believed he was that good and that reliable, or believed he could be reliable, somebody throws a 6-round pick and Brian Gutekunst says yes.
Tony chimes in on ESPN Madison's YouTube. Good to see you, Tony. I kind of figured Jair was going to be released. Too much drama, off again, on again. And I think that's kind of the theme that we're discussing here. As the Packers officially announced they will release Jair Alexander, I take that back. The Packers have not officially announced it, but it has been reported by multiple sources the Packers will release Jair Alexander. Sounds like today that move will be made official. Has not been made official quite yet by the Packers, but imagine that is coming in the coming hours. So that is the big story of the day, is ultimately the Packers get past June 1st rather than designating it a post-June 1st cut. They literally just make it a post-June 1st cut. And move on from Jair Alexander, which I think at one point we were positive was going to happen. I think then we weren't so positive. And then I was actually on the other side. I thought he would be back at one point. Joshy stood firm the entire time, leading to me printing off a couple sheets of this that are now just floating around the ESPN Milwaukee office that says Josh was right.
We should just frame that, hang that up here, and just it'll serve as a reminder.
I love that idea.
When you think you're getting crazy, you want to say, I want to buck the trend here. You just take a little peek.
Well, here's the thing.
I could just point at it too, maybe behind me.
Yeah. Here's the thing about our studio, man, is like, it's beautiful. We have a great space here just outside of the Third Street Market Hall in downtown Milwaukee, but there's not a lot on the walls.
Nope.
Right. We haven't really designed it and made it ours. I think maybe this could be our first step in interior design, like hanging a sheet of paper in a frame that says Josh was right.
Yeah. We could even just pin it to the wall.
Well, would we want to change it to Josh is right? So that way then, as those moments happen, we're just actively acknowledging it?
No, because Josh, I think maybe this is what makes us a decent team, is Josh, despite being oftentimes right, I oftentimes don't view him as right until he is right.
Sort of a central motivation of the program at times.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
A central motivation. That was beautiful. So
I might even argue maybe we shouldn't serve this as a reminder, because at this point, you would have gotten on the train if you actually believed it and you didn't think this was just a year of luck for me.
I think there's some luck that plays into that. Don't get me wrong. I think you're a very smart dude. I think you know what the heck you're talking about. I think that's why I enjoy working with you, is because you're very locked in and you have very informed opinions and takes on things. But yeah, I think there's some luck that plays into everything you talk about. For you to be right on just about everything the last 3 months is I mean, it's kind of an unreal run, right? It's not like you're in the room and have sources. You're guessing on some things.
I think I do a good job of hearing the way other people talk about it, the people with sources, Jason, Rob, etc., and reading what you can read, and you've complimented me on this before. I read people as they speak. I'm not just listening to their words. I'm looking to the way they handle it and the way they address things. And I think that's why it made me, like, looking back now, the way both Xavier McKinney and Keyshawn Nixon approached the questions about Jair, dead giveaway.
The Xavier McKinney one especially.
Yes.
Of course, we went back. I talk to him every day, but I always say this. I've never heard you say this. I always say this. You got, it's his situation. He's got to do what's best for him.
Right.
Which I think.
When Keyshawn Nixon was asked about the cornerback room, he listed every single guy
except Jair.
Sans Jair. Yeah. So the way they approached it to me, I mean, those guys talk. Those guys all talk about money.
Oh, no, 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 no. You know what sans means. Will Summers.
Sans serif?
Yeah, I thought it was a font.
Do you know why?
Because it's without serif.
Got it.
Sans means without.
All right, so we can just skip that. Skip over that.
I saw him reach for his laptop very quickly as soon as you said the word sans.
Four-letter word, just really.
Come on, that one's easy.
Will, that's embarrassing.
We haven't gotten any down yet. I was just trying to, you know.
Oh, yeah, he had one earlier, but I missed it.
I have three of them down because I was told you were leaving. Wow. You're slacking, Will. You got to pay attention,
You also
bud.
Told me you were leaving.
my thing got canceled, so.
Can I ask what the thing was or not?
His tour of my old apartment.
Yeah.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Got moved to next Monday.
Oh, it got moved. Okay, not canceled.
They pushed it back a week.
When are you moving? August?
Yeah.
Okay.
Start of August.
You can wait then. It's only the beginning of June.
Yeah,
we got plenty of time. Okay. Well, that's the big news today. I want to dive a little bit deeper into the actual room, though, Joshy. And this is kind of a two-part conversation that comes along with the cap space the Packers now have available, according to Matt Schneidman, and other people have said this. Matt was just the first thing I saw. Is that the Packers now have the third most cap space in the NFL for the upcoming season. I think they saved, you probably know the number right off the top here, at 17.9. Is that what they saved today?
By releasing, I do not know the number. I just know they have the third most cap space in the NFL.
About $45 million.
Yep.
So, two-part conversation here within the cornerback room. Number one, do they have enough on the roster right now? Number two, and this could be corner or not corner, do you think there is a big move incoming externally? Right, and I don't mean Zach Tom extension, not more money for Elgton Jenkins. That's not what I'm asking. Do you think there could be a move of sorts coming externally, whether or not that's in the cornerback room? And do you think the cornerback room is at a place where, you know, you're comfortable with it as a fan? Because I'm really teetering back and forth on that.
I do not think that there's any additions, external additions coming aside from, save depth pieces or camp bodies that maybe somebody becomes available that they end up adding. I don't see a big splashy move like a Trey Hendrickson I've seen mentioned a couple times. I would be thrilled by that, but that just doesn't seem to be in the card for the Packers. We know how they value draft picks, and we also know how they value paying guys that are over 30. I think we know how they value paying guys over 30, which is not really at all. I think I've long held the belief, I think I was even saying this last season, that Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine are both better cornerbacks than large parts of the fan base give them credit for. I don't think either of them are number one lockdown, shutdown corner type of guys, but I think they are plenty good and plenty adequate. I think even a increase to league average for the pass rush makes them look even better.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not asking for a lot. I want you guys to get home a little bit more and to be league average. I think that improves things a lot. I think another year in the system with Jeff Hafley also improves things a lot. And I also think when we look at the cornerback room, we are ignoring a part of the room that plays safety. Because the three guys that I can name, Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, and Javon Bullard, all are capable of playing corner at some degree.
You might, Javon especially in the nickel. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. He's the one that everyone has sort of pointed at as the nickel guy who could possibly become more of a backup and we might not see on the field that much. But Evan Williams is capable as well of playing down in the slot. And Xavier McKinney at times, now, it seems to me that Jeff Hafley just simply values him as that center fielder more than his previous team, the Giants, did. But in a pinch, he's capable of playing there as well. So that room isn't just the three guys we think it is. That room contains a bunch of guys who can cover and do more than enough if asked to play cornerback.
I don't want to regret doing this, but I feel like it's the right choice right now.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to let Hunter take a Cowboys angle on this real quick. Hunter, a Cowboys fan.
Oh, geez.
Don't make me regret this, Hunter.
Okay.
Packers at Cowboys week four is Sunday Night Football. The Cowboys have two really good receivers after acquiring George Pickens this offseason and obviously CeeDee Lamb. Therefore, passing the football going to be a much bigger part of Dallas's game plan this year than probably running the football, given that they're, I think Javonte Williams is currently their starter.
And Jaden Blue.
I still believe in Javonte Williams. I know that seems silly, but I still believe in him. But anyway, that's beside the point. So you have two really good receivers, pass and a good tight end in Jake Ferguson. You may have heard of him. I feel like passing, obviously, going to be, as I mentioned, a very big part of the Cowboys' game plan offensively. And you're playing a defense. You're listening to us the last half an hour analyze a defense that lacks a true, you know, like shutdown corner. So when you view this matchup week four, Hunter, are you going, oh baby, Dak's going to go for 400 yards? Because that's kind of where my head goes. Where I go, oof. They start the season, by the way. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Terry McLaurin, Jerry Jeudy, Lamb Pickens.
There's a very interesting thing, and I don't know if you realized you were doing it. All those guys play out of the slot a lot, which would intentionally avoid Jair Alexander. And those guys aren't going to stop doing that.
It's true.
Hunter, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I fully expect the Cowboys to try and make that game a shootout. There's been a lot of talk of their use of Kevontae Turpin, the really good returner, even now, because they're like, teams are going to have to cover.
I love the offseason, dude. I love the offseason.
Oh, it's the best. All of a sudden, I'm seeing tweets about Kevontae Turpin going off in practice, and I'm just like, oh,
that's funny.
Oh, Cowboys offense is going to be unstoppable.
X-factor.
Yeah. Like, it is going to be a lot of, okay, who do you deal with from that team? And I'm starting to feel a lot better about the Packers game now as a Cowboys fan. I was very nervous about it, but it looks like Packers won't have Trey Hendrickson. It looks like obviously we know the Packers aren't going to have Jair. Like, I'm feeling a lot better about going up against that Packers defense now. I'm feeling like there's a 40-50 spot that's going to be coming.
There you go.
This might seem like a cop-out, but it truly feels like the Packers, like, in totality, are a lot more than the sum of their parts. Like, put together as a cohesive, unit, they sure were. I mean, I went down the, was it on this? No, I think it was on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy when Brad ranted about the defense not being better. By the way, all-time wrong call from him. He said they were about the same as
that. That was on this show, just so you're aware.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, no.
I think
it was me and you on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yes. And then I responded there, and we all saw it play out. Much better defense. Like, to think back that at points last year, people were comparing Joe Barry's defense to the Jeff Hafley one, laughable. Absolutely laughable.
Yeah.
I mean, the turnovers created, they saw a decline in pressures and still improved in totality. So to me, it's a well-run and a well-coached and a well, like, play called. He knows what he's doing. He's not getting tricked.
No.
By offenses. It's just not the factor. So the minimum line for the defense has certainly raised. They definitely got beaten at points.
I actually think you're making a very good point that maybe we should just all wrap our arms around for a quick minute. We might be overreacting to the lack of Jair Alexander a little bit because it is a big story, right? I mean, this guy was an all-pro for this team. When he's on the field, he's awesome. But again, and this is something we mentioned earlier, let's keep in mind how little he's been available the last few seasons and how much the Packers have operated without him and with the understanding that they cannot expect him to be on the field. It's just gravy if he's on the field the last several years. So this move today does not make the Packers a bottom feeder all of a sudden. This does not make their defense horrible all of a sudden. I actually think, and I don't know if you agree on this, I actually think you can expect improvement year over year from the Packers defense. It's year two in a system. You're a little bit more comfortable with what you are doing. A lot of guys that played significant roles in that defense are going from year one to year two. You mentioned Bullard and Williams earlier. You obviously also have to throw in Edron Cooper. And number three, you've got a new defensive line coach who can hopefully help elevate these guys in year two under the Jeff Hafley system and Rashawn Gary, Devontae Wyatt, Lucas Van Ness, etc. So our point here today is not, oh boy, the Packers got a whole lot freaking worse today. It is more so, how much confidence do you have in that room? But to Josh's point, I think confidence should be rising for the defense overall because you do have another year in the system. You have more time to get acclimated, really get a grip on what you're doing. And obviously all these players a year older, very good thing for a lot of the younger guys. So all in all, this is not the end of the world. This is not a ginormous loss by any stretch of the imagination. It's a disappointing one because I think for me and a lot of other Packers fans, we were holding out hope that you would get a healthy Jair in 2025 with a chip on his shoulder and ready to prove he can still play at an all-pro level. Ultimately, that's not what you get, but I still think this team's in a very good spot. Sorry, Josh, you continue.
I really don't have much to add. I think we have a... it's like almost like a generational trauma of the defenses in the past have created a concern and an undertone always of the Packers defense is not going to be good enough. They're always going to let us down. I think your confidence in Jeff Hafley and what he was able to do with the guys they had last year should instill the utmost confidence in you. And I think he's only going to get better as a defensive play caller as he continues to learn the NFL game more. Yeah. He gets more and more familiar with the athletes that he has on his side of the ball. I only see things improving, and I know one thing, he's going to put his guys in the best position to succeed. With Joe Barry, you could not say that. You could say the exact opposite. He doesn't know where to play guys.
I think you could say the exact opposite.
Right. He doesn't understand the players he has and the way they are best used. I don't think that's the case. I mean, Edgerrin Cooper was a guy who barely knew assignments, but was able to make splash play after splash play because his defensive coordinator said, I know he can do this, so we're going to ask him to do this a lot. I know he can exist in this situation, so I'm going to let him do it. And then as the year went on, he became an every down player and was one of the best players on the field. I think he was better than even the all-pro safety. I think he was better than Xavier McKinney. When you boil it down to the end of the season, there wasn't anybody playing better on that defense than Edgerrin Cooper, and that all happened within one season. You can... Carrington Valentine's going to continue to improve. Keyshawn Nixon, as he becomes more and more comfortable in his position, probably is going to get better himself. So there's plenty of cases of this... Trust what they're... I find it hard to argue that I know cornerback better than Brian Gutekunst and his scouts. I think I watch and I can tell who's good, who's not so good.
Yeah.
But if they're telling me these guys are good enough to run an NFL defense and be a good defense, I'm going to take their word for it.
I should probably listen.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fair.
You can certainly disagree, and we do often. Like, I'd love to know his honest thoughts on Rashawn Gary.
I would like to know his honest thoughts of sitting with $45 million in cap space
yes.
for this upcoming season.
I forgot we were even talking about that.
Well, I just want to quickly breeze over that.
I think it's Zach Tom and Elgin.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
I think that's where
I don't think there's any external move coming.
I did want to say, too, you know, Josh, you started to get into it there talking about Edgerrin Cooper. Like, I think we're also devaluing that there's a chance that the Packers' linebacking core might be one of the best linebacking groups in the entire league.
Yeah.
And that makes your defense a lot better when your linebackers are that good. So that's the thing,
Fire
too, where I'm just like, man, you have the best linebackers. That makes things really easy on your defense.
Look at the San Francisco 49ers. Certainly they had a good front four, but the two guys in the middle of that field, and Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner,
that's exactly what I was going to bring
up. The one everyone talked about because they were so much better than everyone else. And it was clear play in and play out. Like, even if those guys don't get home, they're not lost in the middle of the field. And that's certainly, I think you can make a case of them being probably a top five, like, linebacking unit in all the NFL.
You know how we often talk about, and I know I talked about it a lot last week, after a team wins the Super Bowl or gets to the Super Bowl, a lot of teams will follow suit on their strengths.
Yes.
So 2 years ago, the San Francisco 49ers made the Super Bowl with those guys. Dre Greenlaw, unfortunately, tore his Achilles during pregame at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, getting amped up for the
game. That was awful.
Was it pregame or was it in the game as he was going into the field?
It was during the game after kickoff.
But he hadn't played yet, right?
No, it was like the first or second drive.
Goodness, that stinks. Yeah. But anyway, a team, the Packers play twice a year, kind of followed suit with that. They go out and sign Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards, and well, it didn't work out so well last year, did it, Will?
I think they had those guys signed before the 49ers made the Super Bowl. So, if anything, the 49ers are following the Bears.
I mean, the Eagles have invested in their linebacking core a lot.
Zach Bond,
they gave a boatload of money. They drafted N'Kobe Dean, who they seem to...
It's friend of show, Zach Bond, by the way.
That they seem like they're trying to replace with Jihad Campbell,
yep.
Who they traded up to get, I believe. Like, there's... Linebackers for a while weren't viewed, and you can just, all you really have to do is look at the Packers. The Packers didn't really view that linebacking position as all that important.
Can I ask you a completely random question about linebackers?
Sure.
And I won't hold this to the Josh was right or wrong thing. I want to know your honest opinion on Dre Ninth. Does Quay Walker play his way into a second contract this season from the Packers?
Yes.
I think so too.
And I don't know if his play is going to be Edgerrin Cooper pop off the screen type play, but I think the Packers realize that Quay's unique ability and unique athleticism at that position, even if he's not the perfect player, is still better than a lot of other options out there. And you take his versatility, his speed, his length, all those things, and the fact that he's in the doing the play calling, all of that, I think you just rely on, hey, this guy might not be a all pro, but you can do a lot worse, and we're going to be happy with what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think if Edrin Cooper continues to elevate his play, that's only going to make Quay Walker better.
I think you're totally right on that. So that's our Jair Alexander Packers defense conversation of the day. And we'll obviously get back to this later in the week, including this Friday. We'll be up at Door County Distillery. Joshie Hunter and myself will be at Door County Distillery in Carlsville from noon until 2, live on YouTube, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube, of course, available in the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app as well. And boy, I imagine we'll be getting a little bit deeper into this, a little two-hour edition live from Door County Distillery. But big story, man.
You need me to wax poetic, I'll wax poetic.
Oh, you'll have plenty of opportunity to wax poetic. And then we can have a little bourbon afterwards.
Hell yeah.
Count me in. Okay, let's get to this. You guys know one thing I look forward to each and every month.
Murphy Takes Five.
Murphy Takes Five. Each and every Saturday on Packers.com. Murphy, Mark Murphy, that is, the outgoing president and CEO of the Green Bay Packers, has written his penultimate Murphy Takes Five.
Is there a T?
Penultimate.
You just didn't pronounce it?
It's pen, P-E-N, ultimate.
I thought it was pent ultimate. It is penultimate. Wow.
Joshie was wrong.
Yeah!
Even I knew that.
Yeah! Strope was right. Did I just... Oh, my goodness. That's the upset of the century. I just got Joshie out of vocabulary thing.
Take down the sign. Joshie was right.
You know what word gets said more than ever used?
What's that?
It's penultimate.
I love the word penultimate. Can you tell? So the penultimate edition of Murphy Takes Five. I can't... My pen's not crossing out Josh. It's like not letting me. I was going to write Strofe.
That should be a lesson. Should be a lesson to learn there.
So Murphy Takes Five, the penultimate edition. Strofe was right. You probably can't even see that. Couple of things. I'm going to be honest with you guys. After last month's following the NFL draft, little underwhelmed by this edition of Murphy Takes Five.
Let's be honest. Almost all of them are underwhelmed.
Oh, that's not true. Except They're for informative when he, and opinionated.
Except for when he decides to delve into race debates and things along, like things sure. that things that you would typically tell somebody in that position probably best to see your. He likes to use it as an opportunity for him to say anything.
Yeah.
I think in most places you would tell somebody, let's keep it football related.
Yeah, maybe. But that's his own prerogative, man. He gets to do what he wants. He's the author. He's the genius behind the operation.
Murphy Takes Five is a microcosm of what I believe to be accurate about Mark Murphy is he made and was part of a lot more football decisions than I think we are aware of.
I think you're right about that.
I don't know if he's necessarily pulling Dolan and saying we're firing Tibbs, but I think his opinion weighs heavily in some of these discussions.
So hold on a minute, because I think it dates back to an all-time moment for our guy Jason Wilde, and you'll remember
yes,
this.
What makes you
qualified to hire the next football coach?
Never liked him after that.
No, they didn't get along well since then. The former Northwestern University athletic director, by the way, Mark Murphy. But he had never hired an NFL head coach before. I thought it was a fair question.
It remains a fair question.
But ultimately,
he got it right.
I was going to say, ultimately, he made a pretty good call.
He got it right. Let's be honest about it. But traditionally, the coach was left up to the GM.
Uh-huh.
And that was sort of just how things went. That's how Bob Harlan had untold amounts of success with the Green Bay Packers and revitalizing a once great team.
Let Ron Wolf do it.
I don't want to totally discredit Mark here, but if you see and hear him speak, you would be led to believe that the Matt LaFleur hiring was more luck than genius.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think that's a fair way to phrase it.
That's more spot luck on. Than genius. I think maybe a little bit of both. Luck and genius. Because you got to get lucky, too, right? I mean, even if you hire Bill Belichick like North Carolina did this offseason, you still got
to
get lucky.
I think to some degree, and I think there was a clear, as we've seen, is still one of the most important things in the NFL is, are you connected to Kyle Shanahan?
He was ahead of the curve on that, though.
Yes. He was one of the first to do it, but that seems to be one of the prevailing mottos of NFL head coaches.
No, you're right. You're right.
Because defensive coordinators were even getting hired because of Kyle Shanahan.
You know who was the defensive backs coach for Kyle Shanahan?
Yeah, I sure do.
His name is Jeff Halfway. Yep. Okay, let's get to Murphy Takes Five. I have two takeaways this month from Murphy Takes Five. So we start with the final question that was posed. This one from Anthony in Kewaunee. Kewaunee, good city. Good little town there. Not far from Denmark. So Anthony writes a little bit, gives a quick compliment of how Mark Murphy announced the first round pick, and then goes on to write 9 sentences about EA Sports Madden franchise. And pretty much just spends the entirety of his paragraph complaining about how bad franchise mode is in Madden. And for some reason felt the need to contact the president of the Packers for this. Mark Murphy Love goes it. On to answer. I'm just going to read it verbatim. Thanks, Anthony. I was extremely honored to be able to announce our pick in the first round and was very pleased that Matthew Golden is an easy name to pronounce. I thought the two highlights of the draft were both when Matthew and Baron Sorrell were in Green Bay and they were picked. Our fans loved it, and I am sure it is because and is something neither of them will forget. The great thing about Baron is that no one in the draft room knew he was here. He paid his own way to come to Green Bay for the draft. What were the odds that he would be picked by the Packers? So that is 7 sentences on Anthony's first sentence, and then the other 9 sentences Anthony wrote got a 3-sentence response. Excuse me, a 2-sentence response from Mark Murphy. Says, with regard to your question, while I do appreciate your thoughts on Madden, I am not the best person to ask about Madden. Let me check with my grandchildren and I will get back to you. That's the end of the Murphy Takes Five article.
He took the opportunity to pat himself on the back. He just needed an in to say, yeah, that was pretty cool. I got to do that. Congrats to me. And your question about Madden, I don't care.
I was just going to say, this gave me an idea here. I feel like collectively as a show, we need to write him an email to try and get in his last one.
Yes.
That's a great idea.
I think it's been a strategic misstep from all of us here that we haven't been consistently peppering Mark Murphy with questions.
That is a huge miss.
Yeah, I think it should have been something we did as a company of a content team.
Yeah, it probably should have been required by
us.
Yes. Yeah. Here's your opportunity to do it once a month.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's bad by us. You're right. No doubt.
Hopefully there's a policy takes five in the future.
I'm advocating for it. No bigger advocate for they should rename it though. Like policy statement or you know, name it something clever.
International policy.
Yeah, right. Name it something clever. I didn't send Hunter a screenshot of this one, but
let's be honest, Murphy Takes Five is not all that clever.
No, it's not. But I didn't send Hunter a screenshot of this one, but I thought this one was just funny because it's very Mark Murphy-esque. So this guy named Dan J, I assume Mark knows his full name, but Dan J writes in something about...
Are you talking about the way he ended this one?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So he wrote in an idea about when the Eagles come to town after the Tush Push wasn't banned and the Packers should mock him with Jerry Kramer doing a voiceover. It's a really clever idea by Dan J. But then Mark Murphy writes, by the way, are you the speed skating Olympian from West Allis?
Now, I don't know what the email, because they only put first name, last initial. And I don't know if in the submission he received, if it did say Dan Jansen, or if Mark Murphy simply saw a person named Dan J from West Allis and thought, what if he's the Olympian? Did you know? Are you familiar with Dan Jansen at all?
I'm not, but also this doesn't even say what city. He's the only writer this week that does not have a city attached to it. It just says a message.
So I attached the West Allis. I gave Mark Murphy more credit than he might deserve.
Yeah, it just
here.
Says a question from Dan J.
Huh.
That's it. And the rest of them say, like, this one that I'm going to read final is George from North Mankato, Minnesota.
Now, I've been one to not really heap praise on Mark Murphy, but there has to be more than just him seeing Dan J. There has to be more to it.
Has to be. Like,
they probably met at some event, and then he told him, hey, email in, you're going to get fast pass.
Oh, and he might be doing a little wink, wink.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't be totally shocking.
All right, the last takeaway I had from Murphy Takes Five. You're... What?
Hunter's so right.
What?
In some discussion, he for sure had Dan Jansen approach him, you know, golf outing, whatever it is, whatever they're hobnobbing. Dan Jansen told him that, and he said, put that in an email. I want that on Murphy Takes Five. So he can send his little shot back. Because all the shrapnel Mark Murphy took for putting the Packers in, like, that would make perfect sense, would it not? And then he gives him the little hat tip of, wait, are you the guy? Like, do we think Dan Jansen actually even asked this question? Or it was this was just a repurposing of Dan Jansen saying it to him in person?
Might be honest something with that.
Yeah.
You're a dork. All right, last thing from Murphy Takes Five. So George from North Mankato, Minnesota, wrote in essentially asking, do you have any regrets during your tenure as the president and CEO? And he goes, while we have enjoyed consistent success on the field during my tenure, I regret that we only made one Super Bowl appearance. I would have loved to win a Super Bowl with Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur. We were close many times, and I'm confident that they will break through and win a Super Bowl in the not-too-distant future. Well, Mark, I also regret we've only been in one Super Bowl. I also regret that we've only won one Super Bowl. I've also regret that we haven't won a Super Bowl with Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur, despite being a number one seed multiple times, having an MVP quarterback multiple times, and getting very close multiple times. I also regret that. I agree with you on that.
I think I can make and pose a reasonable argument that despite them not winning a Super Bowl, he has some bigger regrets. He might not realize them, but I think we as a public might view them. Like, how much can you regret not winning something? That to me doesn't even really hold water.
I don't know that counts as a regret.
Right.
Shortcoming.
Right. I regret not being a supermodel. Like, I regret not being a Calvin Klein model. Like, okay, what does that mean? But when you think of the things, and Mark Murphy has left us plenty, and we could only hope that Ed Policy is as much of a headline getter as Mark Murphy. I have my doubts about Ed Policy doing that.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's not
going to happen. He seems to be a little more buttoned up. He seemed to have learned at the knee of his father, who also is a professional, extremely successful. Not that Mark Murphy wasn't. He's just a little bit more of a dope. There's a few things I want you to mull here.
A little bit more of a dope.
Dope is he's dopey. One, announcing, this isn't ranked in order of which I view them worse or not, it's just the ideas. One, announcing on the WIA broadcast of the state championship, was it girls basketball?
Sure was.
Yep. That the Packers and the Aaron Rodgers were going to be separating. That was an odd time, and definitely not a time that was talked about amongst his PR staff or anybody within the building.
That was such a good moment.
I think that having that happen that way, in that format, out of the blue, I think there's a lot to regret about the way that played out.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Great point by you. Yeah.
I also think just allowing the Aaron Rodgers situation to get where it did between his GM and his quarterback, there's a lot of regret there because you're Brian's boss. Mm-hmm. If you're unable to see how things are getting and how unhappy your quarterback is, then you're frankly not doing a good enough job. Because it is ultimately Mark's responsibility to keep things going. If you want to be the boss of Brian Gutekunst,
you got to be the boss of Brian Gutekunst.
Two, Davante Adams. How you let that happen? How you didn't say, cut the crap, Brian. Sign the guy, pay him his money. This guy's a Hall of Famer. The Packers are in a spot here where it would be really nice to have one of the franchise's all-time greatest wide receivers on this team as we push in the twilight of Aaron Rodgers' career to win a Super Bowl. Another one that I think I've seen this image amongst the most of any image I've seen in my life.
Uh-oh.
The ski hill.
Oh, yeah, the ski hill.
Being photographed going down that hill, I think, was the first ball to drop in the Mark Murphy's a complete dope conversation. I think that changed the course of how he's viewed because he looks so silly, so childish, and such unlike the president of a national football team. I think that is one of his greatest regrets and mistakes he made in his tenure as the Green Bay Packers. And the last one would be groveling and trying to pay less rent to the city of Green Bay, a city that has supported you throughout the entirety of the franchise history. Don't do that. Stop doing that.
Yeah. All right, that was beautiful. That was Josh's finest moment today. Well done.
We've got a lot of things going on up here, and I saw that. And, you know, you think, especially us in the content world, we think, ooh, there's something to pull apart here. But then you take a slightly deeper look, and it's like, I regret the Packers didn't win 4 Super Bowls. I regret, like, you can regret a lot of things, but saying you didn't, saying you regretted a Super Bowl is basically telling me nothing. There's nothing there.
It's true.
But I give him, I think all of those things, Mark Murphy can look back on his career and say, I probably screwed the pooch on that one.
The girls' basketball tournament has to be number one.
I think it is.
Do you remember, I think it was me, you, and Greg Scalzo that did radio that afternoon, right after that got dropped. And I think that's the most angry I've ever been on the air.
Yeah.
From like a fan perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to be disrespectful, but not everybody's tuned into the local cable network, like the over-the-air network for, like, it was like semifinals, was it not? It wasn't even like the championship.
It was like day one of it. And
it was day one.
He was supposed to go there and talk about, like, oh, yeah, they're doing this thing with part of, like, kind of our facility. And all of a sudden, he just brings it up.
The Packers love hosting or like supporting the WIA.
At like 2 p.m.
Yeah, it was in the middle of the afternoon on a Thursday. Crazy.
It was great.
Anyway, all right.
Do you think the PR staff and the all the kind of communications people?
Yes. The answer is yes.
Are fist pumping, knowing like yes, we're free. We don't have to put up Mark Fiers.
But here's the thing. That's got to be a fun part of your job. He keeps it very interesting.
Knowing people like that, I think they want things to go.
Wait a minute.
Exactly.
Hold on. Slow down.
What?
When you say knowing people like that.
Yes.
You don't think I'm like that, do you?
No. I'm saying knowing people like the people in their positions.
Oh, okay.
Having
I thought you were referring to Mark
and
Murphy.
Talk to people in PRs and communications. They don't like when you upset the apple cart. They don't want to have to say, here's the party line.
No, but I think with him, he's been around almost, 15, 20 years. You got to know at this point, he's going to say something at some time.
You know it, but you tell him time and time again, stop doing that, and he keeps doing it, and then he looks at you with his dopey face and says, oh, sorry. And then you got to fix it. That's your job. Mark Murphy goes out there, craps on the floor, and then turns around and looks at his communication staff and says, all right, clean it up.
All right, what now?
Are we going to try and, collectively in this content world, try and force things onto Ed Policy? Because, I love this about Mark Murphy. It's one of my favorite things about getting to cover and talk about the Packers. Are we going to try and force this the first few times he speaks? Because we're so used to Mark Murphy saying just dumb things.
As a content person, I very much want him to be more like Mark Murphy than Bob Harlan. As a fan of the team, I would like him to not be at all like Mark Murphy.
I want a little Mark Murphy, but not a lot of Mark Murphy, if that makes sense.
When did the Mark Murphy doing Mark Murphy stuff reach a breaking point for you where you thought...
It was the girls' basketball tournament. It's not close. It was that day.
And then every subsequent action has been like, well, here we go again.
Yeah. Although, I mean, I think it was 5 or 6 minutes with Mark Murphy earlier this year, right before the NFL draft. He is just... unapologetically Mark Murphy.
Well, he thinks he's the funniest guy in every room he's in.
But here's the thing. I'm an easy audience.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's easy to make me giggle.
Yeah, he easily tried to test the waters on you, saw it was going to work, and was like, all right, let's go.
He said, I got a sucker.
Yeah,
and he had me, I got one on the line.
Had me giggling.
He was trying out new tricks on you.
Yeah, trying out some new material. Yeah, he was trying out new material because he went out with Jim Montmolle the next day and used the exact same joke he used on me. Ridiculous. All right, you learn something new every day. We learn something new today. Time now for What We Learned in Mr. Relevant, which is presented by where we'll be on Friday. Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. Whatever you need for your graduation parties, Father's Day celebration, tailgates, whatever you got going on this summer, Door County Distillery's got you covered. Whiskeys, brandies, rums, gins, and more. Check them out at DoorCountyDistillery.com to find the retailer nearest you. Very cool search tool, by the way. You can find the exact product you're looking for. It'll show you the retailer nearest you, as well as a ginormous list of unique cocktail recipes on the website, DoorCountyDistillery.com.
Ginormous?
It's a huge list.
If this list doesn't adequately prove to be ginormous...
Okay, so what would your number of ginormous be? Because I think they have an exact number. Let me pull up.
I don't know. What to you makes ginormous? Tell me what's ginormous.
I would say over 200.
That's ginormous. I think that adequately finds... ginormous. I hope they don't have 199.
I do.
Okay, I lied. They don't have a number. But it's a lot. I'm just scrolling.
I'm sure they have a number and they're aware of it.
They've told me before, but I don't remember it. But there's definitely hundreds on their website.
Yeah, I think once you break 100, you can start calling things ginormous.
All right. Well, then we're in the clear there, because I'm just scrolling back. Ryan, the Catcher cocktail, peppermint patty martini, Orange Dream cocktail, Sex on the Lakeshore, which we made last year during one of our little commercials.
You know what I'm a sucker for is anything Orange Dream.
All right.
I didn't know that about you, Josh. Love a good Orange Dream, too.
Four ounces of orange juice, 1 ounce of triple sec, 2 ounces of Door County Distillery vodka, and 2 scoops of vanilla ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
And then you blend that and put it in a glass.
Yeah.
Garnish it with some whipped cream.
Could drink that all day.
I know, right? That's what makes summertime great, man. You can get wild with the cocktails. What I learned, I'm mad at Kay Adams.
Whoa.
Kay Adams on her show today advocating for Jair Alexander to sign with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I thought she was on our side.
For all she's done for the Packers, she asked for a statue outside of the Gentlemen's Club in Green Bay at one point during her recruitment of Davante Adams earlier this offseason. She wanted to... a statue in Green Bay. And now she's recruiting Jair to the Vikings. So what's going on here, Kay? Pick a side. That's what I learned.
She's just addicted to the story and the headline. There's not much else to be said there. I've got one here. I saw this last week and we didn't really have anywhere to put it. A cow in Juneau, Wisconsin survived being impaled by a piece of wood during the tornadoes.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
There's a picture here. It's on WSAZ, WSAZ3. There's a picture of a cow standing in what appears to be a 2x4 just lodged directly into its side. And the good news is it never was really that injured. They were able to remove it. The cow is fine, and they're just monitoring to make sure we don't have any infections. One, the fact that that can happen and that stuff, like tornadoes as a concept, baffling.
Baffling.
That's weather's the thing incredible. We have to worry about is, hey, the air might turn into...
Weather is pretty crazy. Yeah. I mean, I experienced it yesterday. We're at the AmFam Championship. It's 75 degrees and sunny. It's beautiful out. And 30 minutes into the show at 10:30 a.m., I get told, hey, you got to move inside. And then all of a sudden, it's downpouring. Mm-hmm. And windy. Weather's crazy. I don't get it.
But yeah,
I'm glad the cow's okay. Cows are sweet, dude. I love cows. If I could have a pet cow, I'd want one. I just don't have space for it.
You got a cow named after you.
Space.
I did. Baby Strophy, R.I.P. Yep.
Oh. I'm sure he made some great
beef
ribs.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about ribs, but steaks.
Can you eat beef ribs?
Yeah. Beef ribs is the thing.
Isn't ribs more pork?
Well, you could do either. Traditional, but like, yeah, you can have beef. Wow. Why couldn't you eat the rib of a cow? It'd just be giant, but you can do it.
I've learned two things today.
You know what they do with them? Cut them.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, we are well out of time.
Oh, man.
So Hunter...
I actually had a sports take. He was relevant.
Can you do it in 30 seconds?
We might have a new GOAT for tennis starting. Carlos Alcaraz wins his 5th Grand Slam, and he's only 22. Novak Djokovic... only won one in his first 2 years of being a pro. So Alcaraz way ahead of the pace.
Did you see him and Rafael Nadal on the exact same date of their birth, or like from their birth, won their 5th major?
Yeah.
It was like 22 years, 3 months and 3 days for both of them. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah. My wife and I watched the finals. It was 5 hours and like 40 minutes and it was electric. I was locked in.
I got 16 texts from Colin Russo yesterday about this.
Nearly 6 hours of anything.
That's a commitment.
So good, though. I was captivated from start to finish. It was a great way to waste my Sunday.
Just like I hope you were captivated from start to finish on this very program.
Hell yeah!
Will's Week in Review Wednesday. One word Wednesday. What we learned Wednesday and more ahead coming Wednesday beginning at 12:30 Central. ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube.
We forgot our words.
I got wax poetic to speak in a flowery, overblown, or excessively verbose manner. I also used it in a sentence so I can learn it.
This is
Josh's pathetic. Soliloquy. Nice soliloquy. Mark Murphy was wax poetic. And then I did
Didn't use it right.
Okay.
He waxed poetically about Mark Murphy during his soliloquy.
Sneaky, what's happened with this is we're learning a lot more about Will than I think we intended.
I also got one for Sans. Strove Sans' knowledge about the population of Wisconsin cities.
See, you could have dropped it. Said serif. You could have looked up what serif is. You had the layup, and you just ignored it.
It's I didn't look creative.
It up. He's 0 for 2.
Keep taking hacks, baby.
Is that it?
I wish it wasn't, but yeah.
Oh, my God. Talk to you Wednesday. Peace.